this, Mr. Solomon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, if you would hold on, you're with the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing this morning. So if you can just hold on to the phone, he'll be right with you, sir.
Can you talk a little bit more slower so I can understand you a little better?
Okay.
When you talk too fast, I can understand.
Yes, sir. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We are going to begin your parole hearing very shortly, and the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing this morning, sir.
Okay.
So just hold on to the phone, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Kiwanis, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Solomon?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me clearly? Can you hear me clearly?
A little better, yeah.
Mr. Solomon, I'm going to cut to the chase. If you cannot understand this hearing, I understand that you're hearing impaired, which I respect.
Yeah.
And there was a notation in your, one second, in your institution progress report that you had a hearing disability and required assistance for the hearing impaired. So what sort of assistance did you need, sir?
On which one? I'm sorry, sir. I didn't understand you on that part.
It says that you have a hearing disability and require assistance for the hearing impaired. Do you understand me?
No, not really. I don't understand.
If you don't understand me, we're going to continue this hearing.
Okay.
Because it's very important that your rights be respected. And it's not going to be a proper hearing legally if you cannot understand what I'm saying. Do you require sign language or some sort of hearing device?
Yes,
Do you speak sign language, sir?
No, yes, I do. I speak Spanish and English, yes.
In sign language?
No,
I don't. I tried to learn a little bit of it, but I haven't really got into it that much.
Okay, I'm going to defer to our board chairman. Mr. Board Chairman, I think we're going to have difficulty getting through this hearing if he cannot understand.
Well, he does not. Hold on one moment, Mr. Solomon. He does not need sign language because we couldn't do that because we're on the telephone at any rate, so we could not do a sign language at any rate. If he needed that, then that would have to be something that would have to be reconsidered. But, sir, can you understand what Mr. Solomon... Can you understand what Mr. Kiwanis has been saying to you? Do you have an understanding?
Yes, I do understand. I also understand that.
Do you need any assistance at all in terms of conducting this hearing, sir?
I'd rather have somebody help me and understand it better. Yes, I would like to have somebody.
May I speak with your CO3, please, sir?
Sure.
Yes, this is CQA at the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. As I understand it, after speaking with Mr. Solomon, that he feels that he needs someone to assist him in hearing and understanding because of his challenge that he has. Will you be assisting him or someone else will be assisting him this morning, sir?
I guess I can.
Okay.
We can give it a shot. If that's all right with you guys.
Officer, may I ask you a question?
Sir.
One of the issues with his hearing may be that he doesn't understand this well on the telephone just because of the transmission. So does he...
Well, his hearing, from my understanding, are not telephone compatible.
Okay. What I was going to ask is, does he understand everything that you're saying to him directly?
You understand what I'm saying to you directly, correct?
Yes, he does. Okay, then what I suggest is that we continue with the hearing if you can pass information to him or clarify.
Uh-huh. Okay, I will put you on speakerphone and we'll get through this.
I think that's a good way to do it. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. All right, can you hear it?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I will read slowly and we will try to move carefully through this hearing, okay? officer, and your name again, sir?
Dufresne, D-U-F-R-A-N-E.
Okay, Officer Dufresne, one second. Okay, Officer Dufresne, I'm going to pass this along, and it's good morning. Sir, can you state your ADC number, your full name and ADC number for the record?
Your full name, ADC number for the record. Hey, Joseph Francisco Solomon, 308-149.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency
to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest.
To consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. He got that.
Okay. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing.
I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing.
They are the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
They are the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
The Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
The Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
Our board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright.
Our board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright.
Mr. David Neal.
Mr. David Neal.
And my name is Luis Quinones.
His name is Luis Quinones.
And I will be serving as the panel lead for this hearing.
And he will be serving as the panel lead for this hearing.
I will begin the hearing with a summary.
He will begin this hearing with a summary.
Mr. Jesus Solomon is 60 years old.
Mr. Jesus Solomon is 50 years old.
60 years old.
60 years old. Yes, sir, 60.
Pardon me. The crimes of attempt to commit molestation of a child.
The crime to attempt to commit molestation of a child.
Began on or about May 1st,
1983. Began on or about May 1st, 1983.
He was approximately 24 years old at the beginning of his crime cycle.
He was approximately 24 years old at the beginning of his crime cycle.
He pled guilty on November
20th, 2015. Pled guilty on November 20th, 2015.
And was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment.
And was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment.
He has a sentence end date of March 15, 2021.
You have a sentence end date of March 15, 2021.
He is also pending lifetime adult probation out of Maricopa County.
You are also pending lifetime adult probation out of Maricopa County.
He has no prior criminal history.
He has no prior criminal history.
It should be noted that there were two juvenile victims in this case.
It should be noted there were two juvenile victims in this case.
Tell him I will ask him to summarize the case for us shortly.
They will ask him to summarize the case for the board shortly.
According to Mr. Solomon's institutional progress report.
According to your progress report from the institution.
He's had moderate programming.
He's had moderate programming.
With no sexual offender treatment.
No sexual offender treatment.
He has a release plan which includes returning to his residence in Tucson.
You have a release plan which includes returning to your residence in Tucson.
Douglas.
Where?
Douglas.
Douglas.
Well, we have Tucson.
Okay.
Okay, and seeking reemployment at Bashes?
And seeking reemployment at Bashes.
Okay.
If they will, yeah.
Yeah.
He's had no discipline while incarcerated.
He's had no discipline while you were incarcerated?
What did I mean?
No tickets?
No.
No.
This appears to be his first hearing before the board.
This appears to be your first hearing before the board.
He is not technically eligible for parole until July 19, 2019.
You are not technically eligible for parole until July 19, 2019.
He has several letters of support in his parole request packet.
You have several letters of support in your parole request packet.
Mr. Solomon, this is our first chance for the board to get to know you.
Mr. Solomon, this is the first chance for the board to get to know you.
Can you tell us about the offense that resulted in your incarceration?
They would like you to tell them about the offense that resulted in your incarceration.
And why you think you should be considered for supervised release.
And why you think you should be considered for supervised release.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon.
Okay, this is what I have to tell him.
Tell me what happened. How you feeling? What, you know?
About?
Yeah, on the side of the story.
Oh, on the side of the story on the 1983, what they're filing against me is, I do not understand very well the investigator who investigated me at Douglas. And on that day, what they're filing against me, I don't remember that, me doing that section or doing that part. And that's the only thing I can remember right now on that day, that I don't remember that I did that. I just did not understand the investigator. And I answered things in my mind when, I don't know what happened to me, but I don't remember that day. And I don't know what to say, but I just can't remember that day. And I had to plead guilty because I admitted it in my interview with the investigator, what I said, and I do not know what I can say to myself, but...
Mr. Solomon.
Mr. Solomon.
I understand that you are hearing impaired, but are you saying that you are also impaired with your thinking in any way?
I understand that you are hearing impaired, but are you saying that you're also impaired in your thinking in any way? Are you mentally incapacitated?
No.
No.
Mr. Solomon, did you appeal your case?
Did you appeal your case?
No, I didn't.
Why didn't you appeal your case, Mr. Solomon?
Why didn't you appeal your case, Mr. Solomon?
Because my lawyer said that I admitted it in the interview, and it would have been worse for me if I went the other way.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon.
Mr. Solomon, why have you not received the sex offender treatment program?
Mr. Solomon, why have you not received the sex offender treatment program?
I don't see it available here for me to...
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Where is it? I don't... And my sheet paper doesn't say anything on it.
He did not realize it was available on this yard, but it certainly is.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Solomon, are you aware that sex offender treatment is important for your rehabilitation?
Are you aware that sex offender treatment is important for your rehabilitation?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Solomon, do you recognize that you will be on lifetime probation when you are finally released from the Department of Corrections?
Do you recognize that you will be on lifetime probation when you are released from the Department of Corrections?
Yes, sir.
Were you working at Bash's when you were convicted?
Were you working at Bash's when you were convicted?
Yes, sir.
And when you state that you will be living in a residence in Douglas, is that a home you own?
Is a residence in Douglas a home that you own?
It was granted to me by my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, to my wife and me.
Mr. Solomon, are you still married?
Are you still married?
Yes, sir.
Do you know if your wife is attending the hearing today?
Is your wife attending the hearing today? Do you know?
I do not know. I do not know.
I think we have some supporters for Mr. Solomon in the room today. Are you relatives? No? Okay, I have some notes here that we had some visitors for Mr. Solomon, so I just want to make sure that I was...
We may have some visitors in the room for you on your behalf. They have some visitors in the room at the hearing.
Tom, I apologize. We have a list of visitors, and the only visitors we have in the room are victims' representatives.
Okay, the only visitors in the room are victims' representatives.
Okay, so Mr. Solomon, is there a reason why your wife is not attending this hearing?
Is there a reason why your wife is not attending the hearing?
No, I don't know. I don't know. She didn't tell me anything about it.
Well, Mr. Solomon, you would have to tell your wife about it.
You would have had to have told your wife about the hearing.
Yeah, I told her about it, but she did not tell me anything that she needed to be there, so.
Mr. Solomon, your supporters do not need to be here, but you can ask them to be here if you want.
They don't need to be there, but you can ask them to be there if you would like.
Mr. Solomon, we appreciate that you have not received any discipline in the Department of Corrections.
We appreciate that you have not received any discipline in the Department of Corrections.
How did you manage to stay out of trouble inside DOC?
How did you manage to stay out of trouble inside DOC?
Just keep it to myself and just be friendly with people, and that's it. I mean, stay away from the wrong people.
At this point, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, young Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Solomon, were you drinking alcohol at the time of the crime?
Were you drinking alcohol at the time of your crime?
No. Not that I remember, no.
So, Mr. Solomon, why can't you remember what happened?
Why can't you remember what happened?
Because, I don't know, because maybe it didn't happen. I do not know. I can't remember that day.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any other questions from my colleagues? I have no questions from my colleagues. Mr. Solomon? Mr. Solomon?
Mr. Solomon?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make sure that you have no supporters in the room.
May I make sure that you have no supporters in the room?
I will check again. Do we have any supporters from Mr. Solomon? Okay. Mr. Solomon, at this point of the hearing, I am going to ask a prosecutor from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office.
At this point of hearing, the prosecutor from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office
to approach our podium.
We'll be approaching the podium.
And she is going to speak on behalf of the state and direct any victims or victims' representatives who may want to speak before the board today.
She's going to speak on behalf of the state and direct any victims toward the board today.
Thank you. If you can approach. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Reamer. I am the Deputy County Attorney at the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, and I am the original prosecutor that handled this case at the trial court level. In court today is victim B. I know her as victim B because if you have a PSR or other documentation tied to the trial court, the superior court level, that is how she is located, and she would like to speak to the board today.
Thank you, ma'am.
So I will have her speak first, and then I will comment after she's done.
Ma'am, if you can state your name.
My name is Gloria A. Villa.
Okay, ma'am, I'm going to have to be delicate here because there are hearing issues with Mr. Solomon.
Yes.
And so I don't want to create any further trauma for you, but I still need to make sure that this is something that's understood by Mr. Solomon.
Yes.
Mr. Dufresne?
Yes, sir.
Right now, a victim in this case is going to speak before the board.
Okay. A victim in this case is going to speak before the board.
I'm going to ask her if it is okay with the prosecutor and the victim to speak slowly so Mr. Dufresne can pass the message.
Yes.
And again, I do apologize for how awkward this is. Thank you.
And Your Honor, if we can speak up because I'm having a difficult time hearing the prosecutor as well.
Okay. Thank you. If you can speak into the microphone.
Yes. Okay. All this situation came to light in 99. That year, my older sister, who was 26 at the time, confided in me because she had to tell my father who was passing. At the time, she felt this burden that he needed to know that my uncle was a pedophile.
Ma'am, I apologize so much, but I'm going to have to stop you at right. moments. Were you able to understand that, Mr. Dufresne?
No, sir. I am sorry, and I apologize as well. I in fact, realize it's very difficult.
I want to say for the record that this is very difficult, because we have a victim who's trying to speak before this board right now. I feel that it's very clumsy to be stopping her at a very emotional time to be passing this along, but I recognize that Mr. Solomon needs to hear this. So, if you can tell Mr. Solomon, this is very uncomfortable and awkward for the victim.
This is very uncomfortable and awkward for the victim.
Ma'am, if you can break it into parts, and I do apologize.
So this came into the light in the family's eyes in 1999.
This came light into the family's eyes in 1999.
When my father was in hospice, passing away from cancer.
I didn't get that.
Your father was in hospice, passing away from cancer.
Your father was in hospice, passing away.
My older sister, who was 26 at the time, felt the need to complain to my dad to let her know that her uncle was a predator.
Felt the need to complain to her dad and was letting know that an uncle was a predator.
After that coming to light, at 20 years old, is when I confided in my mother about his actions.
After that came to light at 20 years old, is when she confronted or...
Confided in my mother.
To her mother about being a victim.
I remember that one of the incidents as if it was yesterday.
She remembered that incident as if it was yesterday.
And I was 4 years old.
She was 4 years old.
I remember because I wanted to go to school and my sisters were going to school the following day.
She remembered that because she wanted to go to school and her sisters were going to school that following day.
He manipulated his own daughter to ask my mom for me to spend the night.
You manipulated your own daughter to ask her mom for her to spend the night.
I went over and he proceeded to do what he does, which was to touch me inappropriately in front of his wife.
She went over and you continued to do what you do, which was to touch her inappropriately.
When my older sister, one of the cousins, found out that he was also victimizing younger cousins is when she went to the police in about 2012-2013.
When her older cousin found out that you were also victimizing
younger cousins.
The younger cousin, that's when they went to the police and reported your action.
Yes. I know of at least 5 or 6 cousins that me.
She knows of at least 5 or 6 cousins that claim to be victims of yours.
This is not a one-time thing.
This is not a one-time thing?
No.
Did you say that this was a pattern?
Yes, this was a pattern.
This is a pattern.
This is a pattern.
So, this is why I come to you before you to request that he fulfills his prison sentence and continue to put his lifetime of probation.
This is why the victim has come to the board to request that you fulfill your prison sentence and continue on lifetime probation.
Mr. Dufresne.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Villa?
Villa?
No, it's Villa as in V as in Victor.
Villa.
Villa. Ms. Villa?
Yes.
I want to thank you for appearing before the board today.
The board is thanking you for appearing in front of the board today.
I recognize you had to go above and beyond to testify.
They are recognizing that she had to go above and beyond to testify.
This hearing is not a trial.
The hearing is not a trial.
And we accept this case as fact and at face value.
And they accept the case as fact and at face value.
Thank you for appearing before this board today.
Thank you.
Thank you for appearing before this board today.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Reamer?
Thank you. I want to thank the board for allowing this to move forward
even though it is a little bit awkward, this victim appeared at the last setting, and because of a lot of issues at the last setting, this was reset until today, and I appreciate on behalf of the state and also the victim that we were able to move forward today. The two victims associated with the case were between 7 and 9 and 4 and 5 when they were abused.
The two victims associated with the case were between 7 and 9 and 4 and 5 in your case.
The state knew at the time of charging that there were at least one additional victim.
The state knew at the time that you charged that there was at least one additional victim.
But that the emotions and the instability meant that we should just go forward with the two victims.
But that the emotion and the instability meant that they should just go forward with one victim.
With two victims.
With the two victims. My apologies, ma'am.
Thank you. That's not to say that the victimization in the charged case is less.
That's not to say that the victim that wasn't charged or that you weren't charged on was any less of a victim.
Or that the charged victims are somehow less impacted by the abuse.
Or that the charges are somehow less impacted by the abuse.
The victim here today came to all of the court hearings.
The victim here today came to all of the court hearings.
And I think it was clear the level of trauma that this victim has gone through for decades.
And it's very clear the level of trauma that this victim has gone through for decades.
I think that she would agree with me, based on the conversations I've had with her, that she is also imprisoned by what happened.
She would agree with the prosecutor through all the conversations that she is also, your victim, is also in prison because of the amount of trauma that you placed her in.
Getting on the other side of this, for everyone involved, will be a lifetime struggle.
Dealing with this for everyone involved is going to be a lifetime struggle.
The defendant's plea agreement and the subsequent sentencing meant that he would get at most 10 years in prison.
Your plea agreement and subsequent sentencing meant that you would get at least 10 years in prison.
At most.
At most.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Thank you. And the reason I say at most is because of really the reason we're here today.
The reason what they're saying at most is the reason that they're here today.
The state asks that he have to serve the entire sentence.
They're requesting that you continue to serve your entire sentence.
The pre-sentence report writer noted prior to sentencing that this defendant has demonstrated he is a sexual predator.
The pre-sentence report indicated that they realized that you were a sexual predator.
That he took advantage of the victim's vulnerable ages.
That he took advantage of the victim's vulnerable ages.
And abused his position of trust to satisfy his sexual desires.
And abused your position of trust to satisfy your sexual desire.
Board members, today we have no accountability from the person asking for early release.
The board members, I didn't catch that part. Now, one more time, please.
There is no accountability today on behalf of the person asking for early release.
Okay, there is no accountability today on behalf of you, the person that's asking for early release?
I have watched the interview this man did with police.
The prosecutors watched the interview of your victims with the police.
And it is my position that he understands what is being said to him and responded appropriately and coherently to the questions asked.
It was her position that you understood the investigation and the questions that were asked to you and the situation that was being presented to you.
Just for the record, I will note that that conversation was in person between the police and Mr. Solomon. They were in a small room together, sitting across from one another when the conversation happened.
The conversation was between you and the investigator in a small room, sitting across the desk from each other, when the conversation took place.
I was also at the change of plea hearing.
She would also like a change of plea.
I was at the hearing where he pled guilty.
She was at the hearing when you pled guilty.
That hearing was in a courtroom with a lawyer next to him and a judge in front of him.
That hearing was in a courtroom with a lawyer next to you and a judge in front of you.
I'm not sure how many of the board members have been to a change of plea hearing in Superior Court.
She's not sure how many of the board members have been to that type of hearing.
But so that we are all clear, what happens is a judge asks the defense attorney to meet what's called a factual basis.
The judge asks your attorney to present the facts of the case.
Exactly. So what that means is that the attorney said, my client attempted to touch these children on three separate occasions.
Your attorney stated that his client attempted to touch these victims on three separate occasions.
The attorney would have listed what the touching was, where, and when.
The attorney also listed what the touching was, where, and when it happened.
Once the attorney is done, the judge asks the defendant if what the lawyer said is true.
When the attorney was done speaking, the judge asked you if what he said was true.
At that point, the defendant either has to say, yes, it is true, make corrections, or say, no, it's not true.
At that point, you as the defendant need to say, yes, that's true, make corrections to the statement, or say, no, that is not true.
If the defendant had said, no, that's not true, or I don't remember, then the plea would have never gone forward to sentencing.
If you would have said, no, that's not true, or no, I don't remember, then the plea would not have gone through.
The plea that was entered is called a guilty plea.
The plea that you entered was a guilty plea.
What that means, the term guilty plea, is that the defendant admitted to these things happening.
What that means with a guilty plea is that you admitted to these things happening.
There's another thing called a no-contest plea.
There's also a no-contest plea.
A no-contest plea is sometimes entered when the defendant does not remember what happened.
A no-contest plea is sometimes entered when you or the defendant cannot remember what happened.
Often that happens in a situation where the person committing the crimes is high or drunk.
Often that happens when the person committing the crime is high on drugs or intoxicated.
Or perhaps had a head injury that has affected their memory.
Or perhaps had a head injury that may have affected your memory.
This was not a no contest plea. This was a guilty plea.
My apologies. This is not a no contest plea. You plead guilty.
What that means is that the defendant would have had to admit that his lawyer was telling an accurate rendition of what happened.
What that means is that your lawyer would have had to have stated an accurate rendition of what happened.
And that the defendant would have agreed with that.
And that you, as the defendant, would have agreed to that.
Moving to a different topic.
Moving to a different topic.
The defendant claims today that he didn't know about resources available to him in his yard.
You claim today that you did not know about resources available while you're incarcerated on this yard.
I don't understand that.
Your sex offense treatment program? You claim that you didn't know that we had a sex offender treatment program?
I didn't know because I looked at the paper and I wanted to set it on here. Things that I needed. I didn't say anything on there, so that's why I did not ask. Please just say some things that you need to plan. I doesn't say anything on there. That's why I didn't ask, because it says in.
To the board, I submit that that's the point.
Thank you, Mr. Dufresne. We're going to be with you.
I would submit to the board that that's the point.
Mr. Dufresne, the prosecutor just stated that she submits that...
That's the point.
That's the point, is what the prosecutor submitted to the board. This is the point.
That this man is not doing the things to make him better.
That you are not doing things to make you better.
That he is not admitting what he has done and confronting it.
That you are not admitting to what you have done in your crime.
That he is doing the bare minimum to get by and expecting this board to release him on those
things. And that you are doing the bare minimum to get by, but expecting the board to release you early.
One point on whether supporters are here today.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that at the last setting, he was told he could let people know to come here.
At the last setting, you were told that you could have your supporters attend the hearing.
And then today claims he didn't really understand and wasn't sure what to do.
And today you're claiming that you didn't understand that you were able to do that and you weren't sure what you were able to do.
At the last setting, one of the reasons it was reset is because he didn't have notice to tell his family.
At the last setting, this hearing was reset because you claimed you didn't have notice to notify your family of the hearing.
I know that only because that seems to be what this man continues to say, that he didn't know, that he didn't understand, but that leaves him in the same position he was in when he abused these children.
So your claims of not knowing and not understanding is no different from the time when you abused your victim.
To say he doesn't know whether he sexually abused a 4 to 5 year old.
To say that you did not know that you molested a 5 year old.
Or whether he abused a 5 year old.
Or whether that you abused a 5 year old.
Is a statement of a man that needs to be in prison.
Is a statement coming from a man that needs to be in prison.
Releasing someone who has sexually abused children.
Releasing someone that has sexually abused children.
Done nothing to change who he is.
Does nothing to change who you are.
Puts a man on the streets who may abuse more children.
It puts a man on the streets who may continue to abuse children.
In the underlying case, the defendant had a wife who knew about the abuse of the victim before you today and did nothing.
In the underlying case, you had a wife that knew about your victims and did nothing?
Were the man to be released today, he would be released into that same home with that same woman.
If you were released today, you'd be released in that same home with that same woman.
That is a danger to the children in the community.
That is a danger to the children in the community.
And a more lenient sentence says to the victim present and the other of our charged victim that their abuse doesn't warrant the total sentence.
And a more lenient sentence gives a message to the victim that what they went through doesn't warrant a more severe sentence.
And the state asks that based on the abuse, based on the trauma, the defendant be required to serve the full sentence and that a one-year kickoff be given.
The state asks that based on the abuse and the trauma to your victims, that you be required to serve out all your time, all your sentence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reamer. Mr. Solomon.
Mr. Solomon.
Is there a final statement you would like to make before the board before we go into discussion?
Is there a final statement you would like to make before the board goes into discussion?
Yes, I do, sir. This thing that's been going on, what they're following against me, saying bad things about me and what kind of person I am, I'm not that person. And this happened because I moved in with their parents, and my wife and me, and my two girls, to take care of their parents because their daughters were taking advantage of their mom and dad. And we lived there and take care of their parents. I took care of their parents, my wife took care of their parents, and we took care of them 24 hours a day. We bathed them, we feed them, we did everything we could for them to survive because their daughters were taking advantage of them. And I left my life on the side. I left sexual life with my wife to be able to take care of that family. And I did it until their death. Their mother would cry to me and tell me that she did not know how to die. And she was asking me because she wanted to die. And I could not answer that question for her. And she had her daughters to ask that question instead of asking me. And I helped her and took care of her. Took care of her dad, her husband, until he died too. In that town, they thought that all was they were my parents, and this is the reason why this thing happened, and it's happening, saying these things about me, because that happened, and my father-in-law, before he passed away, he decided to change his will to leave the house and his possessions to my wife. And I told my wife that I did not want anything to do with my names on that papers. And he told my wife that he was gonna put my wife and me in those papers if I liked it or I did not like it. So they left me the house and my wife the house. And their parents, their daughters, they got all mad and really pissed. And she threw that that to my wife, that they were going to find a way to hurt me. And this is what they're doing to me, and that's what they've been doing to me since I've been in here. And anything they're saying out there, it's not true. It did not happen. And there's so much about this family, what they went, what their parents went through, what we did to their parents. And this is the reason why it's happening, this is happening. So all I did was take care of their parents, and this is what I get from it. I buried both of them. I feel sorry for them. It is what the world, abusing them, taking their money, taking abusing of everything they had. And that's all I've got to say. And this is the reason why this is happening. They're making me just more stories and more stories so they can keep hurting me and hurting me, because they think that I'm the one that changed the papers for me to get the house. And I was not interested in the house. I was interested in taking care of those people, because I felt so sorry for them, the way what they were going through. And that's all I can. That's all I can talk.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon.
The board will be going into discussion.
The board is not going into discussion.
It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly.
It may sound like we are speaking to you directly.
But it is the board discussing the case amongst itself.
But it's the board discussing your case amongst themselves.
Under the open meeting laws of Arizona.
Under the open meeting laws of Arizona.
Each voter votes independently.
Each voter votes independently.
So if he will just remain silent, we will come back to him shortly with our decision.
So if you just remain silent, they will come back to you shortly with their decision. He understands, sir.
The board is now in discussion.
The board is now in discussion.
Fellow board members, I will keep this as simple as possible because of the communication issues. Based on Mr. Solomon's history of sex crimes with no treatment, his lack of accountability, the traumatizing nature of the incident offenses on three young children, I have serious concerns as to whether parole would serve the interest of justice. He is already scheduled for an early sentence end date, 3 years shy of his 10-year prison term. At least that's the way I interpret it names. It seems to me that Mr. Solomon has a very convenient understanding of information. And this is where I will begin the discussion. Thank you, fellow board members. Hearing no further discussion by my fellow board members, I'm going to make a motion, and if you can repeat this, Mr. Dufresne.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make a motion.
The board is making a motion.
My motion is to deny regular parole.
They are denying regular parole.
Absolute discharge.
Absolute discharge.
Or home arrest.
One more time, sir.
Or home arrest.
Or home arrest.
And based on the years of the crimes.
Based on the years of the crime.
Which continued past 1984.
which continued past 1984.
I am recommending a one-year set-off.
The board is recommending a one-year set-off.
And that is my motion.
Mr. Quinones?
That is your motion, Mr. Quinones.
The crime really, some of the crimes span back to 1983.
Yes.
So I'm not sure we can do a set-off.
Well, if the crime cycle was from 83 into 1985, I'm interpreting that we can, but I certainly don't want to make any legal misstep.
No, yeah. I thought it was after.
May I make one point?
Yes.
Okay. This is the prosecutor again. I don't know a lot about your process, so forgive me, but count one is the count that the defendant, sorry, I use that word, is in prison on, and the date of offense for count one is between May 1st of 1985 and September 30th of 1985. The 1984 dates that make it a little different are the lifetime probation tail count.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Then I will second.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Agreed.
Agreed. Okay, just one second. The motion is to deny. Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
The motion is been denied. It's been seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
The Honorable Dr. Wright.
The Honorable Dr. Wright.
The Honorable Mr. Johnson.
The Honorable Mr. Johnson.
The Honorable Mr. Neal.
The Honorable Mr. Neal.
Based on the year of the offense.
Based on the year of the offense.
We are asking for a one-year set-off.
They're asking for a one-year set-off.
Release type denied. Is, go ahead.
Release type denied.
Regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest.
Regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest.
The reasons for denial are as follows.
Reasons for denial are as follows.
Serious and deviant offense.
Serious and deviant offense.
Trauma to the victim.
On your victim.
Trauma to the victim.
Trauma to the victim.
Age of the victim.
Age of your victim.
Multiple victims.
Multiple victims.
Victim harassment.
Victim harassment.
Lack of programming.
Lack of programming.
No family or community support system.
No family or community support system.
And that is my motion.
And that is his motion.
Mr. Solomon, do you understand your reasons for denial?
Do you understand the reasons for your denial?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then this will bring our hearing to a close.
This will bring the hearing to a close.
Mr. Solomon, you will be eligible for another hearing in approximately 1 year.
You will be eligible for another hearing in approximately 1 year.
This ends our hearing.
This ends your hearing.